Rochelle Diane Sparrow is a psychic and a channeler. And we recently had her come by our Phoenix studio and talk to us when we were in Phoenix, Arizona a couple of weeks back. Ms. Sparrow is an internationally known psychic trance channeler and also a trained psychotherapist. And she has articles that are regularly published in the Sedona Journal of the Emergence and Mystic Pop. Rochelle's first book, by the way, Light Technology, was widely circulated nationally and abroad. Recently, John F. Kennedy has been able to communicate with her from the grave. And the reason this happened, Rochelle says, is because he has grave concerns about the way the State of the Union is going. He's channeled a book through Rochelle called John F. Kennedy is Alive. And it really has some extremely controversial information in it. Now, this book is available by simply going over to her website and downloading it. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the website right now, rdsparrow.com. That's www.rdsparrow. That's rdsparrow.com. Of course, the Kennedy assassination happened on November 22nd, 1963. The interview here with Rochelle, who says she's in contact with JFK and actually channels him for me on the radio, is, if nothing else, enthralling and interesting. I was there. Rochelle seemed to be very sincere.
Oh, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I so appreciate you setting this up for us. It's just so great.
I don't even know where to start. How did you find out you were a channeler to begin with?
Well, it was a long process. I believe that I was able to read energy when I was a child. I grew up in an extremely abusive home, and it was very isolating. And luckily, I found a lot of strength in nature and the things that surrounded me. And through that strength, I was always open to spirituality. And as I got older and I went into therapy, I began to study Jungian analysis and shamanic meditation. Mm-hmm. And through shamanic meditation and through what they call shamanic journeys, which is visiting the lower world, the upper world, and the middle world, I did that for around 10 years. And after about 10 years, I began to hear a voice. And I learned through continued experiments with shamanic meditation that that voice was an actual guide. Or God.
So actually, it just kind of grew as you got into it.
Yes, I did.
Is this a gift, or do you develop it, or how does it come about?
I think it's a gift that everyone has, and I think that it can be developed. And I suspect that, for example, I'm getting clairvoyant energy from you.
Uh-oh. Well, I'll try to behave. Well, when we talk about channeling, your book, which we talked about at the top of the show before we started the show, and it's available. We have a link to the website, and they can get it a PDF file, I think, and download.
Yes, 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 they most certainly can.
And tell us a little bit about that book, how it came about.
Well, one day, while I was channeling for myself, which I do every day, I started to channel John F. Kennedy, and he started to come through very, very insistent and very, very clear. As you can well imagine, I was a little shocked because I'm used to hearing my guides, and then I had this other entity come in who identified himself, and he was very interested in talking about the State of the Union. And this was before the election, like several months before.
Yes, and I, when you decided to channel him, how do you decide that? Just mentally make up your mind, or is there a special way to do that? I mean, how do you locate somebody like that?
Well, they locate me, thank
okay.
God.
Okay, that's the way it works.
Because my sense of direction isn't that great, too.
Now, let me ask you this much. Why would a former president of the United States and an icon like that find you in Phoenix, Arizona?
You know, I think that's a very good question. And I think that as any person who's been trained, as I have, in Masters of Social Work, it's a question that you and you folks out there that are listening to me have to decide for yourself. In other words, am I believable? Why would he pick me as opposed to you, for example? And the truth of the matter is that I couldn't tell you why, except for I'm open to spirituality. I believe in empowerment of people as a therapist. I believe in other entities from all types of spirituality and energies that are out there. So I think my openness, my belief in empowerment, my readiness to tell the truth, my ability to take risks and be courageous and tell everybody about my experiences is why.
And basically, how many times have you channeled President Kennedy?
Oh, I'd probably say throughout the book, at least probably 150 times.
Have you ever tried and he's not there?
Nope, he's always there.
Well, good. Maybe we'll try it today again.
Well, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, we'll do that in a minute. But before we do that, I just wanted to flesh out a little bit more about this and about were you a Kennedy person before, in other words?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question, because one of my memories that popped up when I first began to channel him was my mother was a big Kennedy fan. And when I was about, I was about 4 or 5 when he died, we actually
went... You don't look that old.
Well, it's truth. We actually went down to the funeral, and I remember standing on the street and watching the casket being drawn by the horses as he went by, and it really made quite an impression upon me.
Well, I'm sure it did, especially mm-hmm. if you're there. You know, seeing it on television is still memorable, after all these years, 40 years later. But so you lived in that area at that time?
No, I lived in New York.
So you guys went on down to Washington.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we did. You just ask any kind of questions that you would like to ask, and he'll come through.
She's getting into a trance and channeling now. I don't know if the president's with us yet or not. Mr. Kennedy, are you there?
Yes.
Welcome to the show, on top of everything else.
I am present.
Now. I, you know, it's been 40 years, and the world has changed in many ways since you were president.
Not here.
And what do you think? I sometimes feel like we're headed in the wrong direction. What do you think?
We are very concerned, as all entities are, in this spatial existence, about the world conditions. That is why I have chosen to come forth, to be present, to talk about the state of affairs that are occurring, especially war, depression, currency. It is all going to come. There are problems.
Well, let's talk about the currency first of all. We keep hearing rumors now the euro is going to be taking over away from the dollar, and that happened, of course, after your death when Nixon took us off the gold standard. What about that?
That's correct. As I planned to do when I was in office, I was going to create a world bank, a bank where all parties, all nations, all people petitioned to be within. The World Bank would have descended upon and created no need for war. This situation of the deflated currency is due to, one, the Bush family, generations before, as well as my family, created a bond whereby people in conspiracy decided to create corporations and government. And these corporations now entail the determination of currencies, corporation standards, and laws, international as well as national, that predict and determine war, the efforts of corporations in terms of oil.
When you talk to people after your death there in the spiritual realm, are you around some of the others that were with you during your administration? Are they concerned?
All are concerned. My father, who was a part of the conspiracies, has determined that he now wants light to become available to those that he served, humanity in general.
And we talked about some of these things, and you were much kinder and gentler in your administration than now. It just seems like the corporations see no boundaries.
That is so correct. That is why I'm speaking out, because this situation, the corporate agenda, is not new. This is an old agenda, worldwide. Heads of corporations, heads of states, together have determined the political agenda, the financial agenda for all countries worldwide together. And this situation has a long history. It is ongoing. My family was involved. The Bush family was involved. I was the bell ringer. I was the leader in saying no, that this cannot continue, that we must work to be free of the agenda.
President Kennedy, we're coming up on the 40th anniversary of your death, and there are many, many questions still today. Does anybody have anything close to the right answer about what happened there?
There are a few who do. There are some that surmise. There is one who knows. There are locked files in cabinets, stored in library vaults, stored away, that have more information detailed in regards to my death. There have been people who have been shot, who have come forward and stated their own reality about what has occurred in the past, but they too are here and are gone on earth. There have been many who have witnessed strange events, strange occurrences, in which there were determinations and findings, and then the findings were left.
In the fateful day that you went to Dallas, the day you were shot and killed, did you have any inkling that you were in danger that day? I've often wondered about that.
I did. That is part of what occurred before I came down on the plane. I told Jackie I had concerns about traffic. I told her I was concerned about jamming, traffic jams, that there may be problems and getting through on time.
Now we talk about that day, the events that took place afterwards, after your death, did this completely change what you were planning on doing, or was the assassination to no avail, or as far as the people who were trying to change, I guess they were trying to change history or change your way of what you wanted to do with the American society, I guess. Do I have that about right, about why you were assassinated?
That's correct. I was assassinated to be a martyr, to continue on my legacy, because you understand, you already know, that the public continues to grieve over my leadership, my lack of being present. They continue to miss me. They still want me present. That is why I come through, to tell the public I am present. I continue to live. I continue to be.
This last election was quite a shock and a disappointment to me. I thought the Bush administration probably would be overturned. Do you have any thoughts about why that didn't happen?
Because now is the time to understand the true reality of what is occurring internationally and nationwide, the fraudulent behaviors and practices of the creed of greed, of what is occurring with war, and corporations, now is the time to understand and become enlightened, to act, to become strong and making determinations that are present and overturning the fraudulent coincidences that occurred in the election.
Do you see much hope for that happening, or have you see much hope for that happening, or have these people actually cemented power? It appears to me that they've got quite a grip on it at this point.
You're correct in terms of the perception that they want you to believe. There is much propaganda present. There are people who understand the propaganda. They feel fearful in terms of the economy, in terms of their own ability to act. But now is the time to own the fear, to understand it in terms of courage, in terms of risk-taking, in terms of moving towards the light and understanding that, yes, this agenda can be overturned.
Now, let's talk a little bit about what we as citizens should do to maybe help overturn this, or is the common guy helpless in this situation?
Not helplessness. This, again, is a time to understand fraud. What you can do is become involved, become organized, become affluent in your understanding and knowledge that people can begin to see truth. Your being present here is a part of the action that will continue to arise and occur. You understand? Your being here is a part of the action.
Your family has had many tragedies. For instance, your brother Bobby, the Attorney General, he was assassinated years after you died. And even your son had a plane crash that still people talk about and wonder about. Are there any connections in any of this?
This is part and parcel of the Soul family's choice in developing continuing martyrship, continuing recognition of the family as righteousness, the family as a memento of me and what I did and what occurred during my gift as a president to serve the United States. I was empowered to help. I continue to be empowered to help. Yes, that is truth.
Now, how about, would it do any good to talk about the people who killed you? Is that a same conspiracy that killed Bobby?
Different source. Same thing, same program in terms of continuing to knock out, disassemble, destroy people who want to bring in international security in terms of economic stability and financial peace.
One of the highlights of your administration, of course, was the Cuban Missile Crisis, and you look back at that and you wonder, did you feel that you had any other choice in the way you acted? I guess not. I guess it's the reason it worked.
I had many choices. However, the determined efforts that I made were, in hindsight, fraudulent because fear was present within me in terms of dissolving security within the government, the United States, and I was fearful of not being protective. However, in assuming a protective stance, I became the enemy. Therefore, negotiations were curtailed. I was going to negotiate with Castro after the Cuban incident. That is one of the reasons why I was killed.
Then let's talk about some of the other reasons. We talk about the military-industrial complex. It seems like it's stronger than ever now. at one time, people talked about that you really, your select group, were thinking maybe of pulling out of Vietnam. Is that true?
That's correct. As I stated earlier, we were thinking of consolidating all financial monies into World Bank. This would mean all countries, every single state in terms of international union and economic stability would have say, would have right in determining action of the United States.
Is there anything that you'd like to state in this visit to our listeners about the world situation or any message you need to convey that we haven't talked about?
That you are the active part in terms of determining the agenda for the United States. You have rights, you have actions, which are slowly being taken away, which are slowly being fraudulently curtailed so that you seemingly do not have rights no longer to act. However, the truth is your actions can continue for the goodness, for the righteous freedom, for your ability to see, to sniff out false truths is continuing to be present. The election was fraudulent. There were many who determined that the statistics were incorrect, were correct in one way, pointing towards fraud. These actions of noting the truth in the public arena, through the media, through a public stance, through the opportune moment of speaking your truth is what counts now, is what the action must be.
Is there a way you think we can prove the fraudulent manner of the election at this point?
No, not yet.
That's too bad.
Not yet. In other words,
back from a broadcast of a UFO conference, and a fellow did a lot of speeches about what presidents knew and what they didn't know. Anything, do you know anything about the extraterrestrial movement, Area 51, UFOs, things like that, black projects?
We believe in all beings present. There was an investigation uncovered when I was in term in office. I do believe in space. I launched space program for the exact reason of determining life in outer space. I believed in extraterrestrial life. I believed in other lives on other planets in other ways. Now that I'm present here in this dimension, I believe for sure.
We are going to let you go. Just one final comment or two from you, if you have anything to say.
Thank you for allowing me to continue to serve. I am present. I am here. I will continue to lead.
Now I have Rochelle back, and that must take a lot out of you, Rochelle.
It does.
and you don't remember anything about what happens?
No, I do remember because I'm conscious while this process is happening.
Okay.
But sometimes what happens is that somebody will ask me for details, and I'm so focused on concentrating on the energies as well as the words that I don't necessarily will process the details, because that's where my focus is. I'm an interpreter.
You do you hear the voice, or is it a burst of energy, or what is it that you get? Exactly.
Well, it's sort of like turning on a radio station,
as
I think I was mentioning
yes.
before, and just go into a very slow meditative state, and I actually get like a burst of light, and that elongates in my sense of it, the way that I feel it. It elongates into a word, so I actually hear a word. And then the other part of it is that they'll send me energies, and that's why I was hesitating at times while I was channeling him through, because they'll send me an energy, and I have to interpret that energy.
Now, besides channeling JFK, You have channeled other people?
Well, I channeled my guides, Akbar, who was an actual historical figure, which, surprisingly enough, fits in terms of having John F. Kennedy came in, because he was a northern Indian Mongol, and he believed in peace and peaceful nations, and he united tribes in northern India and created a new religion called the Dani La, which values and states all religions have a common bond, they're all okay. And by doing that, he eliminated the religious conflict in northern India.
Now, what about your life here in Phoenix? You've been here for some time now.
Yes, I'm so thankful. I love it here in Phoenix.
Now do you have clients or anything?
Yes, I do. I trans-channel for clients, for groups. I'm more and more on the radio. I'm slated for television in 2005. So I'm very, very thankful for my life, the way it has blossomed here.
Right. Rochelle Sparrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a pleasure.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. And thank you for your hard work and taking the energy to do this.